Please forgive me for preempting Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director at Fortis Institute. We have the absolute delight to produce the Integrated podcast, which is helping people connect their faith with the entirety of their lives. That is such a great need. And if that has been your need, and if this Integrated podcast has helped you in not living a dualistic Christian life, would you please consider supporting us? We're Fortis Institute. We produce John and six other podcasts that are just, well, they're screeching up the charts of popularity because they're reaching so many people with so much helpful biblical content. Year-end giving is so important. And if you'd please consider supporting us right now, we have a year-end match campaign, which means your impact will be doubled. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome to Integrated. We have been talking about worry and anxiety and how it attacks us. It always feels like it's overwhelming. I don't know what to do. And it is just eating us up. We feel it physically in our bodies. We definitely feel it in our emotions. Our spirit is weighed down with worry, and we're distracted from thinking about the Lord as we ought to in the midst of these things, and we need some help. So what helps us? Well, to know that God's in control. Yes, that does, but we don't want that to become a cliche. We want to see holistically from God's word all kinds of help from all kinds of areas of theology. On Integrated, we try to take the truths of God's word and apply them to life. And so we've been trying to look almost, you know, trying to get a comprehensive perspective of the areas of theology and how they directly speak to when anxiety attacks us. So let's look at the doctrine of sin, right? Sin is when we are doing things that go against God's word and God's clear commands. God is the standard of right and wrong. All right, does God have anything to say about worry? Yes, he says, don't do it. So if we do it, does that mean it's a sin? Yes, it does. Again, it's complicated. That's not the whole story, because we've said that worry is kind of on a spectrum between godly concern and sinful worry. And so sometimes there's godly concern, and that line can be blurry. Sometimes there are physiological reasons that your body is amped up because something's going on. And so we encourage people to go get a physical if this seems to be a sudden problem or things like that. But here's the thing. There's always a spiritual component even to our physical problems, all right? And there are very clear commands in the scripture about the sin of anxiety. And Jesus, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, says three different times not to be anxious. In Matthew 6, 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And he goes on from there to talk about it some more. Verse 31 of Matthew 6, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. That's where the great command, or the great promise, in Matthew 6, 33 comes. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then once more for punch, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't be trying to take on tomorrow's troubles today. You don't even know if tomorrow's troubles are going to happen. Sometimes we worry ourselves about things that aren't even real. We do the what ifs, and that's not good at all. So three times, there's a command here. So the flesh and the devil would love to lie to you and say, oh, your worry's not the sinful kind. Your cares are just godly concern, even though you're not thinking about God at all, and you're completely wrapped up in your own head about these things. We need to call it what it is. It's actually very helpful to call it what it is. What do you mean? Why is it helpful to call your worry a sin? Well, you think about the different euphemisms we use, nicer words that don't sound like sin. And maybe we say, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a little nerve problem. I'm just a little nervous about this. I mean, you're riddled with anxiety, but you don't want to say that. You just have a little nerve problem in your own mind. Well, maybe you would say, it's just a medical issue. It's only a medical issue. It doesn't have anything to do with sin. And I've already said that medical issues can be a part of it. So don't mishear me on that. But what I am saying is, there is still a spiritual component to it. And if you say it's just a medical problem, not a sin, I just need more medicine or the right medicine or higher doses of medicine, then you're not going to ever look to God's remedy for anxiety, right? If you call it a sin, you know what's good about that? I mean, it's not good to sin, but what is good is you can repent of sins. You can ask for forgiveness. That conscience that's tormenting you because you've been in a puddle of your own worry can now be quiet and clean. Because if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In Hebrews 9, in Hebrews 10, it talks about how the cross is the way that our conscience can be clean and right and pure. We're so grateful for forgiveness, but you can't have the good news if you don't have the bad news. There's not forgiveness for being a little nervous. There's forgiveness for the sin of worry. So call it what it is, confess your sins, and God will forgive you for your sins. All right, let's shift gears. Let's turn to another area of theology. There's certainly so much more we can say about any of these, but I'm just trying to show you all the different theologies, the teachings of the Bible can help directly when anxiety attacks. How about the doctrine of salvation? Now, if we've got sin, then salvation is the forgiveness we have in Christ. Christ, we already said, never worried, and he never sinned one time. He qualified to be the Savior. He suffered and died on the cross in the place of believing sinners. He rose from the dead. And that is glorious and wonderful. And in a previous episode, we talked about how the doctrine of Christ helps us with our worry. But right now we're looking at the salvation part. You say, I believe in Jesus. Well, now you've been justified. You've been declared righteous before God. So even though you feel like, oh, I feel like I'm still worrying and stuck in my sin, stop and thank God for the cross and thank God that your position with God the Father is not in jeopardy. God saved you and he declared you righteous, not because of your performance, but based on the performance of Jesus. How great is that? It's Jerry Bridges. He said, preach the gospel to yourself every day. That's a great thing to do. Remind yourself of the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ. But then in salvation, the doctrine of salvation, there's progressive sanctification. That's where God takes us where we are, and he makes us more and more like Jesus. Sometimes he uses trials in our lives to make us like Jesus. That's why James can tell us in James 1, 2 through 4, to consider our trials as joy. Why would we do that, James? Because God's using our trials to make us like Christ. We know Romans 8:28, that God uses all things in our lives, and he's working them together for our good, to make us like Jesus. That's progressive sanctification. And that is glorious. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We're all works in progress. But you know what? There is coming the day of Christ Jesus. And that's where we go from justification to sanctification to glorification. So in sanctification, God is helping us to grow from putting off our anxiety and putting on trusting in God, putting off our sinful worry and putting on prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. These are ways that he's helping us to grow, to be more and more like Jesus. But glorification is when Jesus comes back and everything that's lacking is completed. And we are just like Jesus. We are going to be like him in terms of our holiness and purity. He's going to glorify us, not because we deserve it, but because of his great grace to us. It's such a, I'm having a number of scriptures flash in my mind. I'm thinking of 1 John chapter 3, that we don't know what we're going to be like yet in our adoption. But when Jesus comes back, we are going to be like him. And that's so great. It's incredible. So we want to just thank God for glory and the glorification and that Jesus is coming back. And this situation, I mean, sometimes you're battling your sin and it's so discouraging because I want to make more progress. I should be making more progress. Why am I not making more progress? But okay, we go back to the cross. Our conscience is cleansed. We thank God for his work through the Holy Spirit, helping us to put off our worry and put on righteousness, put on trusting God, put on prayer. Those things are going to help us in our daily battle. But oh, let's just pause and thank God that this is not the end of the story. There's coming a day when Jesus comes back that we will be like him. No more worries, no more tears, no more suffering, no more trials. But we're going to be thinking about the Lord day by day, however you time eternity, forever and ever. Praise God. All right, we have to take a break. We're going to come back and look at a couple of other areas of theology and how they address our war with worry.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotts in just a moment. You know, most people think theology, especially systematic theology, is for seminary students. But Dr. Crotts just proved that it's for anyone and everyone, especially those who have panic attacks at 3 o'clock in the morning. And look, I want to kind of flip around our usual conversation today. Before I talk about our resources, before I talk about Fortis Plus, I want to ask you something. If you suffer from anxiety, what's in your arsenal? Because what Dr. Crotts is laying out is an entire arsenal of weapons here. Justification for when you feel condemned. Sanctification for when you feel stuck, glorification for when you feel hopeless. Listen to me, that is not academic theology. That is daily survival. Here's the problem, however. Most believers do not know that they have these weapons. And that is exactly why we exist as a ministry at Fortis Institute. We exist to arm believers with theology that actually works in real life. If you've been helped by our ministry and you have the margin, after giving to your local church first, where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful because when you join us, you help us get all of this content we're creating into the hands of more people in more places all over the world. Find out what it would look like right now at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. John Crotts. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. We are asking the question, how can my theology book help me with my worry? Theology, of course, is the summation of what the Bible teaches about various subjects. And yes, the Bible has a lot to say all over it and in all kinds of ways that will counter-strike when anxiety attacks. How about the scripture themselves? The very nature of scripture is going to help us with our worry. You know, the Bible is breathed out by God. The Bible reveals God to us. The Bible reveals God's ways to us. The Bible helps us comprehensively to walk with the Lord. And so therefore, the Bible is going to help us with our worry. Of course, classic verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So our Bible is going to help us with our worry because the Bible is breathed out by God and it is profitable. It's beneficial because we get to talk to the author of the book. He is the one who designed life. He's the one who created us. And so, of course, he's going to have important, helpful things to say about all areas of life. And worry is certainly one of those areas that he addresses and he helps us with it. So just think as an example of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, more great verses to meditate on and think about as you're struggling with worry. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So how does the Bible help us with our worry? All right, anxiety is attacking, right? You've got trials, you're wondering, you're doing the what ifs about things that may or may not even happen, and you're not thinking about the Lord. And so now you pull out your Bible, you read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. All right, what does that do for you in terms of a counterstrike against worry? Well, at least three things. Clear commands about anxiety. Okay. We say, don't do that. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. That's a clear command. Well, that's helpful to know, right? Call it what it is and deal with it accordingly. Another thing is there's a clear prescription. He doesn't just tell you, don't do it. He tells you what to do instead. Instead, pray, right? Did you see all those words for prayer tucked into that? Don't be anxious about anything. But here's the contrast. Here's what you should do instead. In everything by prayer, that's one, and supplication, that's two. With thanksgiving, let your request is number three, be made known to God. So that's great. Three times he tells us to pray, and he tells us to be thankful in the midst of our prayers. I've often thought that being thankful is so important in our battle with worry because you thank God for times he came through in the past. It reminds you that he's going to come through in the present. And as we even thank God for future grace, we know he's going to come through in the future. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I can be thankful that my Heavenly Father is on it already, and it's going to be all right. But in addition to the clear commands and the clear prescriptions, there's also clear promises in the scriptures. And that helps us with our worry as well. He gives us that one in Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what I need. I need some guarding because my heart feels out of control. When I was in Atlanta traffic the other day and tempted to worry and giving into that temptation, it was like my heart was out of control. I needed God to be on guard with his peace and to bring that to my heart. And he did. And I'm so thankful that the promises of God help us in this area. So the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of the scripture is another useful tool in our war against worry. Let me give you one more. Eschatology, end times. You say, all right, well, we're worrying about the end times. That's what I'm doing. That's part of what I'm doing. You know, I'm cross-referencing the book of Revelation with the nightly news, and I'm seeing connections, and this thing's not going good. And so it's tempting to worry about some of these details. But we know that the main message of the Bible, the main message of the book of Revelation, is that Jesus wins. Jesus wins. You are on the winning team. Well, the other day, I was excited to watch a football game that was recorded, and somebody else had watched it in my family before me and left it at the end of the game. So as soon as I turned the recording on, I saw the final score. Now, the good news was that the right team won in that situation. I was really glad for the result. I was not happy for the process, but I was very glad for the result. But you know, it changed the whole way I watched that game, because even though there were some bad situations, even though the good guys, my team, didn't do everything just right, I knew, you know what? This is going to be all right. We're going to win. I know it's not going to be a problem. There was even one situation in the game where I'm pretty sure they had, the other team had first and goal on like the 1 yard line, right? They were ready to score, but I knew they weren't going to score. How did I know that? Because I knew the final score, and that would have given them more points than I knew that they ended up with. And sure enough, we made a couple of stops and got an interception on the goal line. And I was like, that's pretty good. Well, eschatology is very important for us to think about the Lord's return, and very important to recognize that it directly impacts the way we think about life in the here and now. One of the great passages about the return of Christ and our gathering up with him in the clouds is in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it starts in verse 13 and goes all the way down to verse 18, right? That's the one where we who are alive are going to be basically, we're going to get glorified on the spot. If you're alive when Jesus comes back, glorified on the spot, launch up to be with the Lord in the clouds. That's fantastic. But the punchline Paul gives is often left out of the teaching, right? So many people are consumed with getting the dating and seeing how this connects to that. But the punchline that Paul leaves us with is verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The Thessalonians were very upset. They were thinking the day of the Lord is right now. And they're wondering, how could this be that some of the brothers and sisters had died? And if that's the case, they missed it. They missed the whole thing. And Paul's saying, don't worry about it. You don't have to be anxious about that. Here's how it's going to go. But the big point of it is that you would have comfort and encouragement and be able to encourage others. I alluded to 1 John 3. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So as you're hoping in the Lord, it has a purifying effect on you. It motivates you to pursue purity. So worry comes. All right, let me tell you. Okay, you're in worry. All right, how can I use eschatology to help you? Let me remind you, Jesus wins. All right, it looks like the devil's got first and goal on the 1 yard line and your back is against the wall. But listen, I know the final score. The devil's not going to get the touchdown. The devil's not even going to get a field goal. It's going to be a turnover, because I know the final score. Jesus wins. Now, one of the effects of that ought to just be encouragement, but another effect ought to be purification of my heart. Oh Lord, I ought not to have been worried. I ought to have been trusting you, and I'm going to pursue purity because I know my eschatology. Eschatology has help me to go from just a chart on the wall to the blessed hope filling my heart and directly helping me in my battle against worry. Okay? I hope this has been a blessing to you. Do you know, just preparing these episodes has been such an encouragement to me to think about how all the different areas of theology help us. And you know what I tried to do after I learned all these things and were refreshed and reminded? I tried to do it, to do God's word, because we don't just want to be hearers of God's word. We want to be doers of God's word. So let's trust Him and win the war against worry.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.